report is a heavy outlines the heavy price for which children are paying as a result of the conflict and increased violence here in Iraq. The children are being abducted. Children are being recruited into military groups. Children are being abused, and children's protection rights are diminishing every day as the conflict increases and evolves.
What are the numbers you're putting in the report, Mr. Hawkins?
Well, at the moment, there are 4.7 million children who are directly affected by the conflict. 3.4 million people are displaced actively all the time. 1,437 children have been abducted over the past 2 years. That's 50 children a week. And we have got reports, regular reports, 34 this year, of children being recruited into military groups.
When you say military groups, are we talking about the terrorist organizations or any specific groups? Do you have information about that?
Predominantly, they're in the terrorist groups, but there is evidence that this might have expanded further. We're looking at accountability mechanisms. The government are working with their paramilitary and military groups to prevent people from being recruited.
Where is the majority of the children at risk, and what are the common characteristics of the area they live in right now?
Two big areas in which children have been displaced from and into: Anbar, especially around Fallujah and Ramadi. There are 85,000 people came out of Ramadi recently, on top of 60-odd thousand people who have already been displaced in that area. It's really hot. It's a desert. It's baking. It's 51, 52 degrees every day at the moment. The ability to provide shelter, water, access to health services, and sufficient sanitation so people can live in comfort is a real daily struggle to try and ensure that they get all their needs.
You are in Iraq in a difficult time. You've met many children and families. What is the thing that strikes you the most? What can you see on the ground, and maybe the news doesn't tell us?
I think it's the resilience of people, and especially children, that despite everything they've been through, they still smile, they still recite poetry, they still sing. And it's that resilience that gives you hope for the future. However, at the same time, you know that protection today is not an assurance for protection for tomorrow. And what we're calling for is not only for today and tomorrow, but for their future. On a depressing side, I was in a school just the other day down south, an area which is not directly affected by conflict, where educational needs of children are not being met. They have three shifts, sometimes four shifts per school. That means 10 hours of contact hours per week. That is not sufficient to help children develop for the future. And we are faced with perhaps losing this generation. And I think this report is trying to highlight the protection needs of children for today and tomorrow, but also to safeguard children's future. They are the future of Iraq.
Mr. Hawkins, what are the specific steps or measures you're calling for in this report?
I think first and foremost is a focus on children and the psychosocial needs in the response to the current violence. Second is to all sides in the conflict to ensure that the protection needs of children are being met even while you're perpetrating, to protect them against being recruited, against other violations, especially around sexual abuse, but also to protect them on a daily basis against bombings, protect their schools, protect their hospitals. At a second level is also safeguard their future. So investment in school, in education, investment in healthcare services, investment in the systems of government to allow for children to be able to play, learn, and aspire for their future.